This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a conversation with Todd Montgomery. He's the outreach manager at the Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, Tennessee. Rescued elephants from circuses and zoos across America find peace at this sanctuary. Founded in 1995, the sanctuary is not open to the public to ensure a tranquil retirement environment for the elephants. But fortunately, there's a wonderful educational visitor center located in downtown Hohenwald. Video displays include the Elecam, providing live streaming video feed from the elephant's 2,700-acre habitat, the largest safe haven in North America.
My name is Todd Montgomery. I'm the outreach manager for the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee. We are located in Hohenwald, Tennessee, which is just about an hour and a half southwest of Nashville.
I've been coming to Tennessee for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. I've been in all quarters of the state, and I had no clue there were elephants in Tennessee. This is great.
Yeah, we hear it all the time.
Tell us how that happened.
Well, it's a long story that I'll make short. The Elephant Sanctuary has been in existence for 25 years. We were founded in 1995, and we were founded as a retirement home for elephants. Elephants from performance and exhibition, circuses, zoos that need to find a new home for their elephants for any reason. We chose Hohenwald and Lewis County due to a number of factors, agreeable climate being one, the availability of land being another, also the proximity to Nashville and Middle Tennessee, which is, of course, a lot of what Nashville's big backyard is all about. So we certainly understand and agree with the thinking there. So
who was it? Was it a one person's vision and desire to do this?
It was actually two people that owned an elephant named Tara, and they were a performing team, I guess is the best way to say it. And as Tara was getting older, as time was passing, they made the decision to create the Elephant Sanctuary as a permanent home for that particular elephant and then for other elephants in similar circumstances. And here we are, much bigger and much older place now.
And so you source elephants from anywhere and everywhere internationally, not just in the United States.
In terms of the elephants who have retired here, we've only received elephants from North America.
Right.
But to take a step back, most of those elephants were born in the wild and were taken from the wild at a very young age, brought to the United States at a very young age, and then spent huge portions of their lives in various locations all around North America, again, being parts of educational exhibits or displays or what have you. And then down the road, they get to come and live with us.
So you have Asian elephants, African elephants, Indian elephants,
mm-hmm.
but yet there's one subspecies that was ideal for use in entertainment and circuses, right?
Yeah, I don't know that I would say that anywhere were ideal because, again, we just know how different that captive life is on these very, very intelligent and complex animals. But going back hundreds of years, there was a tradition of Asian elephants being used.
Why was that?
I don't know that I can give you a perfect definition except to say that if we go back to a time before photographs, before anyone had really even seen a photograph of an elephant or maybe even understood what one was, you can imagine the clamor that an actual real live elephant would cause. And that's exactly what happened over the course of the 1800s. And then P.T. Barnum, he wasn't the first, but he was certainly probably the best and most popular at using elephants in performance. And he had an Asian elephant herd for that purpose. And he brought Jumbo, of course, the world famous African bull elephant over. And then from that point on, Asian elephants just sort of became the vogue performers, I guess is the best way to put it.
And so the interesting thing about the sanctuary here is that it is a true sanctuary, a literal sanctuary, away from most human beings.
Mm-hmm.
You have no outside access for visitors to observe.
That's correct, yeah. The only humans that we have here that interact with the elephants on a regular basis are the trained staff that work here, our caregivers and our wonderful veterinary staff. And we also work with outside veterinarians as need dictates. But all of the elephants that live with us now did have very public lives, in some cases for a very long time. many of them lived in very loving environments and homes. They were treated with kindness and compassion, and the humans charged with caring for them absolutely did the best that they could with what they had available. We have other elephants who live with us, and that was not the case. And I'll spare the details there, but there are lots of really, really sad stories out there that go along with our residents.
Where does your funding come from?
We are all funded by private donations. We're a nonprofit organization. We're a 501c3, as I said before. So,
what's your primary outreach and connection?
Well, we have a lot of the traditional means. We do direct appeals. We do newsletters. We have a wonderful website, elephants.com. I should mention that if I haven't already. Our normal social media outlets. We have a great Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter. We have an email listserv that goes out to thousands of people all around the world.
It follows you have membership.
Absolutely, yeah. So we have a number of ways that people can contribute to us. You can become a member of the Elephant Sanctuary. You can symbolically adopt an elephant. You can symbolically feed an elephant for a day. And of course, we have adoption certificates that we can send out, and we, you know, keep those people involved and in touch. We have in years past had a volunteer program where members could come and work with our staff for a day, not interacting with the elephants, of course, because that wouldn't be a great idea, but helping us paint our fencing or, you know, do minor construction, those sorts of things. So that's something where we've had members involved as well. But yeah, we're very, very lucky and very fortunate to have the donors that we have, and hopefully that we'll be keeping for a long time.
Share with us the story about the doggy that showed up and became friends with one of the elephants.
I'll start this like any great story. A long time ago in a land not that far away, there was an elephant named Tara that lived at the elephant sanctuary. There is an elephant named Tara. She's still with us. And a dog showed up at the sanctuary one day, and she came from wherever stray dogs come from. And for reasons that I can't explain and won't begin to try, Tara the elephant and Bella the dog established what can only be described as a friendship. They became constant companions. They spent all their time together. They ate together. They explored the vast 2,700-acre sanctuary together. They socialized. They became companions. The story of this unlikely friendship between an elephant and a stray dog, of course, captured the attention of a large, large audience, captured the attention of a lot of reporters and a lot of writers as well. And so they publicized that story. And of course, that brought a lot of really positive attention to the sanctuary, for which we're thankful. You can Google Tara and Bella for your listeners out there, and you'll be regaled with lots of those wonderful things.
That's really cool. So what am I missing? What do you want to share that we haven't touched?
The big thing that I do want to share is, even though the elephant sanctuary is not open to the public, or the elephant habitats are not open to the public, we do have what we call our Elephant Discovery Center, which is located on Main Street, Hohenwald, USA. And our Discovery Center is a museum where we educate visitors, classrooms, drop-ins, you name it, about all the stuff that we talked about today, what elephants are, what they need, their role as a keystone species in the wild, how crucial they are to a healthy global ecosystem, and how humans have tried to care for these animals and maybe failed in some cases, and what we're trying to do here at the sanctuary to give these elephants not the best case scenario, because that would be, you know, elephants living in the wild, but something closer to that. And we have interactive exhibits to deal with all that, so you can read about elephants, you can hear how elephants sound, you can watch any number of our videos, you can interact with our staff. And we also have our live streaming Ellie cams, which you can also watch at elephants.com. There's an Ellie cam button there. If you'll click on that, you'll be able to observe the elephants in their sanctuary habitat. And you never know what you might see this time of year on a nice sunny December day. Oftentimes midday, we'll see the elephants lying down to take a nap out in one of their pastures, which is always rewarding to watch.
That's awesome. Somebody wants to learn more.
The single best place to learn is elephants.com. My name is Todd Montgomery, and we are located at the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee Discovery Center in Hohenwald, Tennessee.
Thank you so much for sharing. This has been great.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Tennessee. We'll see you here.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.
The Elephant Sanctuary Show is the seventh in a series showcasing Nashville's Big Backyard, an economic and tourism initiative encompassing the Natchez Trace National Parkway in Tennessee's southwest quarter, down to the Shoals region in northern Alabama.
My grandfather called me to his bedside, and he told me there was something I should know. He said, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there crying, the land will save you, wait and see. So I loaded up my car and moved to Denver, work a job and chase big city dreams. But I never found the life I really wanted till I came back home to Leaper's Fork, Tennessee. He said, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there crying, the land will save you, wait and see. It didn't hit me quite as hard then as those words come through today, but in the chaos all around me, I can still hear Grandpa say, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there crying, the land will save you, wait and see.